สวัสดีค่ะสบายดีไหมคะพระเจ้าอวยพรค่ะ which is hello how are you God bless you all me and this is going to be a little bit difficult a Dropbox to me is so because we live way up in the north of Thailand and there's nothing really a lot there that needs a lot ofTechy stuff. So I do apologize now, especially to Tim as he's trying his hardest to help. And one of these, oh, I'm so pleased you didn't do it quite right. Oh, I hope it's turned on then. Oh, wow. The next one then, shall I just, do I do, hang on. 3 o'clock. Oh, yeah, I suppose, yeah.Being Buddhist. Yes, well, being Thai is being Buddhist. And there's these all over the place. This one is just further north of us. They love their royal family, the Thais. They absolutely adore their royal family. And their royal family has to be Buddhist because of all the rituals that they go through. It has to be Buddhist. And they are very, very high on nationalism.And of course, it's Buddhist, totally, through and through. So just think, if you're a Thai, how do you come out of that and become a Christian? It's so hard for them. It's just so hard. A friend of ours, Frank, who went over there, he's married to Daruni. And Daruni, the whole family is Thai. But she came out of that and became a Christian. And that was hard. And she became a Christian way before she met Frank. But she's had to make sure that she does a fine line. She sort of has to go to the family when there's a celebration, like our Christmas, you know, that sort of thing. Not quite the same, but... And she is with them. She just doesn't join in, but she's with them on these occasions, just so that she's part of the family.It is so hard. We don't realise, do we, often? We go out there trying to convert them, and really, we have to get to know them first. So anyone who goes out, I know my friend there over there, he said he's going out to Nepal. It's a case of finding out about the people before you even start. Find out about the culture. I was going to show you the God history, but I'll do the next one. I keep forgetting this, sorry.One of that, we have millions of these. This is one just up the road, but there's many more just up the road as well. So they are absolutely elaborate. That is Thailand. They all go to their temples, their wats. That's what they call them, a wat. Right, that's, well, we'll leave that for a bit. God history. So I've got my list here. I thought my list was going to come up, but it's not.Thailand is about 75% Thai. Most then is after that is Chinese. And then others, which is mainly, anybody who comes there, Indian, one or two Indians are there. And, there's a load mixture there. And the next God history, I'm trying to look up this now. So I'm sorry, we'll get there.1567 was the first time a Christian ventured into Thailand. That's, well, if you think about Marco Polo, it's 300 years after Marco Polo, yeah? Does it put it in perspective? He'd marched across to China, didn't he? But no Christians marched across to win souls at that time. Maybe they didn't feel confident enough to go all that way. And bless them, these Portuguese...Catholic missionaries had 2 years there and then they were killed. Not very nice, is it, to encourage anybody else to go? But a few brave souls, Catholics again, ventured there again, and they were all either died of disease or were expelled, or again, the last ones who insisted on staying were killed. Sad. And that was in a place called Ayutthaya.Ayutthaya, maybe you know it, Mark, but the Thais say it differently. And that was their capital. So nothing happened in that capital, bless them, nothing. The Christians were all killed or sent away. So the next date was 1780, when self-making King Taksin invited some Catholic missionaries over and even paid for them to set up a building, a mission. Absolutely unheard of. But it happened when he did his new capital, Bangkok. And he'd heard of these Christians in other countries, and this was a port now, and the ships were coming in with Christians on. So he thought, I must be modern. I'll have a mission here for the ones who are coming in, and I'll be kind. So he did. Didn't last long, though. The Chakri dynasty started in 1782, and Rama the First came. We're on Rama the Tenth now, by the way. Rama the Ninth just died, if you recall. Some of you might know. So this was Rama the First, and he wasn't keen. He didn't like the Christians much. So again, they all went either underground or out the country and didn't do much. So you can imagine there weren't very many Christians there, all right? The Northern Lan Estates, where I am, I'm in Chiang Rai. Well, there's Chiang Rai and Chiang Mai, and they were called the Lan Estates. They were part of Burma, not Thailand at this time. So when you asked me to do Thailand, I thought, well, I've got to sort of do a bit of both, really, as I'm in the Burma area. But soon there was war, and they had to let go of this little Lan estate in the middle, because that was like a buffer between Burma and Thailand for many, 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 many years. Okay, in 1828, the first Protestant went out there. Well done. European. They're good, aren't they? They got there first. 5 years later, though, actually, the American Protestants got there as well. All around Bangkok, or nowhere else, just Bangkok and all around there. Nowhere else they went, just stuck there. And they were good in one way, because they'd had to write the Bible out by hand before this. But in 1835, these missionaries got a printing press going. Good for them. And they started to be able to write small bits of literature from the Bible and give it out to people. And then they actually even wrote the Bible, of course, in Thai. Now, that sounds easier than it sounds, because there's Southern Thai, Central Thai, Northern Thai, before you even start on the tribes that are there that speak other languages. But they did do the Bible in Central Thai, because most people spoke that. So that was a good start, but they still didn't get any converts. Remember what I said about Buddhism, how it's part of, it's woven into their whole life, really. No converts, or maybe one or two, but none to speak of, that were converts. So about 1900, there was about 1,000 converts, just to put it straight, in Thailand. That's not many, is it? 1,000, that was all, in the whole of the country. Not many at all. But, remember, I live up north. In 1817, how is that? That's only 200 years ago. 1817, and many of you might know this. Judson, good old Judson, the missionary from America, went out to Burma and landed in Rangoon in 1817. So, yeah, that was the start. He forged ahead. He was enthusiastic, him and his wife. They forged ahead, and they found out the Burmese language. They learnt it. They even wrote the Bible soon in the Burmese language, which was amazing in such a short time. But no converts. He preached in the marketplace faithfully, but no converts. Oh, how depressing that must have been for him. But then along came this Karen tribesman knocking at his door saying, can you give me a job? And when they realized what he was trying to say, he said, yeah, come in. He was a total drunkard, a really tough guy, but yeah, come in, we'll find you some work. Now, this Karen guy worked there for a few years before he realized what this white man was doing. And he realized he's speaking about God. That word blew him away because Judson didn't know what he'd stumbled on in this guy. And this guy didn't know who Judson was. But he realized soon, for centuries, hundreds of years, maybe even thousands, they'd had a prophecy. And that prophecy said, you know, God is just so good. So, so good. That prophecy said, look out for a white man. He's your white brother. And he will show you the way back to God. And that prophecy was passed down through the generations. They sang songs about their creator God. And they sang songs about this God who loved them. And they were faithful. And they wouldn't believe in Buddhism because of all the idols and everything that were up there. They were faithful, but they didn't know what to be faithful to, really. Because, you see, in their background, all the tribes around there in Nagaland, China, Burma, Laos, Thailand, they all had these different things that had happened in their past. They had a book, but not actually a book like we know it. It was writings written down on animal skins, rice cakes, rice paper, and it had either faded or been eaten or whatever had happened. And they'd lost them. They'd lost all their valuable things that they knew about God. So that's why they'd passed it on in songs. And this Karen guy looked at Judson. I need to get to know your Bible. And so he tried to work out, because it was Burmese, Karen language. There was a language barrier, but he learned as much as he could. Judson went through a terrible time. All his children died one by one, and his lovely wife died eventually, and he was on his own. He'd given everything for the gospel, everything. But he knew his treasure was in heaven. And he continued, and he brought over other people like the Boardmans who came over. He'd already done the Bible in Burmese. So when these younger missionaries came over, he thought, oh, you're a bit stronger than me. You go out to Tavoy, he said, which is a nearby city, and preach the gospel to the Burmese. Surely they'll listen more to you. And he sent them off. The Karen guy, Kotabayu is his name, he went off as well. He said, I'm coming with you. And do you know what he did? While Boardman was preaching in the marketplace, he said, I'm going up the hills, okay? Okay. Up he went to the hills. He toured the whole area. Climbing the mountains isn't easy. We've done it. We're too old now to climb the mountains, I'm afraid, but we've done it when we first went there. And it's not easy. And he went all over these villages telling his fellow Karen tribesmen, come, come, the white man has come. He's brought the big white book. Come. Well, they looked at him. It had been going on for centuries, this. Is he speaking the truth? This guy is a drunkard. He's also murdered some people. Shall we listen to him? But they came down and they sat and listened to Boardman with tears in their eyes. God is faithful. He's sent the white man, our younger brother, they called him. And they listened, and 2,000 Lahu in that year came to Christ. There would have been more if they could have got to the villages, but it took quite a few years for this Kotabayu and the Boardmans to get around. They'd forgotten about the Burmese now. They were majoring on the Karen tribe that were turning to Christ by the thousands. And do you know what the Karen tribe were? These were in Burma. They went over the border, didn't they? Into Thailand. We've got a long border up there. into Thailand, and they evangelized Thailand, and all the Karen people in Chiang Rai, Chiang Mai areas turned to Christ. Many, many, many turned to Christ. Wow! Missionaries, absolute dream, hey? You preach the gospel and they come and look, absolutely mesmerized by what you're saying. They had never heard of Jesus before. All they knew of was a God who loved them, creator God who created me. Yeah? And they were amazed by it all. So, George and Sarah Boardman were there for many, many years. This is an Akka tribe, by the way, and this is the Karen tribe. I'm not doing that one. I didn't realize it would be put together. But this is me with the Karen tribe. In Chiang Rai, at the university there, there was a guy called Samat. We called him Smart, but Samat was his name. And he became a Christian. And he said, I come from this village, he said, that believes in Creator God. We've never heard of Jesus. I thought, surely they'd got round all the villages by now. Obviously not. And we promised him we'd go back when we went back with him. It took hours by car, and then you couldn't get up the huge boulders in their road. I would never have called it a road. But you couldn't get up. So no wonder people had been put off. So up we went anyway and got to his village. And cut a long story short, we stayed a few days, but cut a long story short, they had never heard of Jesus. But the old folk there started to sing us the songs they knew, amazing songs of their wonderful creator God, and that they were waiting for someone. Well, we didn't know whether they'd seen white people before or not, but Smart knew that they needed to know. So his English wasn't that great, but he knew enough. And we said, if you just don't understand us, Smart, you know the gospel. Just translate. In other words, if you don't understand us, just get on telling them the gospel. Don't waste time. So we did that. And do you know we were there till midnight out in the middle of the area of their village, the central area, telling them about Jesus. And a couple came out and said, this Jesus, you say he heals? I said, yes. And they said, we've never had a live child born. We've had many children born dead, but not an alive child. Now, I'll ask you, what would you have done? Have you got faith? You're on the line here. We said, Jesus, you've just got to do this. And we prayed for this dear lady and her husband. Yes, you can guess. So many months later, baby boy was born. Okay. And he's still okay. We saw a picture of him about when he was about 1 year old, looking very, very tough, you know, as a little baby boy, just starting to walk. So praise God. There's a small church thriving there now in that village. Because God is so faithful to his people. How did they know about God before? I have no idea. How did they have this treasure in their hearts of one God that loved them? I have no idea how they got it. And they have no idea. They just knew, they said. God had somehow put it in their hearts way before any missionaries went there. Isn't that amazing that God is just so good and faithful? Maybe he realized that we would take so long to get there. He thought, I better let them know a bit before they get there. I don't know. I really don't know. Anyway, that's the story of these lovely ladies there when we went there. Lovely, lovely village. They need people to go and tell them. You've got to be younger than me, I think, because I don't know. The knees go a bit, don't they, for climbing up hills? You know what I mean? Those who are my age. Anyway, I said in 1900 there was only 1,000 Christians in the Bangkok area and Thailand, because that part of Lanao area was not Thailand then. Okay, that's why it was only 1,000. But at this time, there was a guy called William Marcus Young who was sent to the Shan tribe but got waylaid. He got to the marketplace in up in that Arlana area, and he started to preach. But down from the hills came the Lahu tribe. And they looked and thought, what is he doing? And then they stopped in amazement. The sun was gleaming down on this Bible that he had in his hand, and it looked gleaming white. They recognized, white brother. And this was way gone, 1900. He only got there in 1900. It was about 1930, I think, when this happened. And they went and they more or less kidnapped him. Really? They wouldn't let him go. They grabbed him. He was going to go up to their villages. And that was it. Donkey, at least they got a donkey for him. Donkey up the mountainside and took him to their village. Do you know, he never left. Him and his wife and his two sons never left. He got there and thousands were coming to Jesus. How does one guy teach thousands who've never heard the gospel before? All the stories. He got his two young sons, 9 and 10, Vincent and Harold. Come on now, you good Bible teachers, come on. And he had a big throng as big as you. And they stood at the front and they told them the Bible stories because that's what they could do. And then their dad, Marcus William Young, used to teach them a bit deeper around the Bible stories, but they'd already knew the stories from the two young sons. Doesn't matter what age you are, does it? Hey, there's no little ones in here. What a shame. You just cleared them all out, but they're good as well, you know. Get them involved. I know you get them involved praying, but wow, when you think about what happened there, it was amazing. I know Phil and Ruth Young, about the same age as us, and they're still out there. He speaks Lahu perfectly, as though he was born there, because he was. He's the grandson of William Marcus Young. And his nephew, from the other side, his nephew, another Marcus, Marcus Young, goes out to the Wa tribe. Whereas Phil goes and preaches to the Lahu, encouraging them, he goes out to the Wa. Now, do you know the Wa tribe? They're soldier boys. They grab the boys from the villages, the Burmese, and make them march before their armies because if there's any bombs around, they get it first. Really nasty. And they kidnap these boys from the villages or just take them off. And Marcus Young goes out to try and win them back again, even if he has to pay for them to get them out. And he has a home there for soldier boys so that when he gets them back out, often they don't know where they've come from. And he puts them in this home and brings them up to know the Lord and just look after them, really. A lovely, lovely guy, lovely guy. He goes backwards and forwards because he's one of the, I don't know whether he's actually the Bethel church or one of the nearby. Is Bethel situated anyway? His wife and his four children are there, but he goes backwards and forwards into Thailand. Lovely, lovely family. Can I just say, they are so intelligent as a family. I'm left behind. And you just think, wow, these guys could have got any job, and be rich, as we would see riches. But no, their riches, of course, they know Jesus. He is their riches. Heaven is their riches. Whatever they can push into heaven can win souls for Jesus. That is their riches. And yet they're so intelligent. It's amazing. And you think, whoa, thank you, Lord, for people like this who don't see earthly riches as what is needed. So it's brilliant. I love the family. Akar tribe. They're lovely. The first man came to know Jesus 60 years ago. That's when the first Akar man came to Christ. Unfortunately, he's just died. His funeral was massive. never seen such a huge funeral for days. And they didn't sort of, oh, shame he's died. They were dancing round the hall, praising God. And oh, you'd never have thought it was a funeral. It was just so precious, so precious. His son Marcus, another Marcus, Luca, is the pastor of the whole area there, and he does a fantastic job, Pastor Luca. I wonder, the next one, I've got to pull it on, haven't you? Sorry. No, that's not the next one. Yeah. I'll go back. Do you recognize these guys? That was Christmas Day, can you guess? Well, actually, it was the day before Christmas. We were too busy on Christmas Day, weren't we? We'd have never had time to go out for a meal, would we? Have they told you all about it? Yeah? Oh, haven't you? It was fantastic. We loved them coming out. I thought they would have told you all about it by now. No, we love people coming out on mission. So if you ever want to come out and join us, we didn't make them do too much work, did we? A bit of icing of biscuits or something like that, or a bit of techie work for Andrew because he's good at that. Yeah, it was good. We loved it. Let's go back then. Yeah, that's us. Oh, Andy sends his love, by the way. Sorry he couldn't make it over to come and speak here. Let's see where I was. I've lost where I was now. Yeah, I think it's because I had that to put up on it, the dates, and so I'll go through a few of the dates. Because in 1939, the Lana areas became Thai. So where I am became Thailand in 1939. Not that long, really, is it? The new king at that time, Rama the Ninth, got all Thailand together and put his borders in place. And he also changed the language to Central Thai. So our area speaks Northern Thai. So anybody over this sort of age, anybody over 40, say, doesn't speak Central Thai. They speak Northern Thai. Very hard to reach them. There's a young lady just gone out, a lovely young lady. She's only about 25, and she's studied for 2 years the Northern Thai language so that she can reach them for Jesus. And now she's going out, a lovely lady on her own. She's just gone out. Her heart is for people, and she feels God's calling her to these Northern Thai people. And she's going off into the villages. She has the strength and winning souls for Christ. And she's a nurse. So that's helpful as well, because she can help. That's the way in, so that they can trust her. We need people like this there so much. It's not finished, you know. In this country, we've had Christianity, well, thousands of years. It's not finished there. We need help before the country closes. There'll come a time in maybe 15 years' time when you'll only be able to go there for a few weeks' holiday. You won't be able to have a visa for staying longer. Think about it. Those of you maybe know of somebody, tell them. Now is the time for Christians to get in. I'm so pleased that Andrew and Emma came. We need more. We need more. Just a bit of information again. 1952, 14,000 Christians in Thailand. It's gone up, hasn't it? Gone up. And the Akha tribe started to come in then. So in 2000, we had 200,000 Christians. Yay! And then we moved there in 2006. Not that that made much difference, but we actually moved there in 2006. 2014, over 400,000 Christians. It's going up. And 16, 500,000 and counting. In our area, there's double the number of Christians, double the number of churches, although they meet quite small. It's growing. People are telling their neighbors. People are spreading the gospel. And these tribal people are the main ones who are coming in. We are getting some Buddhist ties coming in, but very few. We need help on that. How do you reach them? What's the way in? We don't know. We've tried every way and it's so hard. So any ideas really would be appreciated, because still Christians are less than 1%. It's still 94 point something percentage Buddhists. 4%, would you believe, Muslim, because they're right down at the south near Malaysia. And nearly 1% Christian, and 1%, more or less all of them are animists. They're coming to Christ. There won't be many animists soon. They're all turning to Jesus, so that's good. And we're just praying for more, for it to get more established, because the church needs to get strong. Just think, all our stuff we have in English. How much stuff it tells us about Jesus that's in English. The books we can read. It's exciting for us, isn't it? What do you think there's in Thai? One country speaks Thai. There's nothing. Hardly anything. Some people have tried to translate certain books like Brother Andrew. You remember that? From way, way back. Wonderful book. They all love reading it because it's in Thai now. And one of Bill Johnson's books has been translated now into Thai. We bought a lot from the local bookshop because there wasn't any in. And we said, oh, we want this book. And whenever they got them in, we kept buying them. And she's got more and she's got more till she's got loads of them now. Just encourages them. We've given them out. But it just encourages the local bookshop to buy them so that they're in the bookshop. You do that as well. I'm sure there's schemes you have to get the right books in the bookshop. Anyway, they're reading it. And of course, we've been telling everybody about the Bethel Way as well. And not that it's perfect. It's not that. It's not that. It's just more dynamic. They don't know it's Bethel. But we're trying to spread Christianity more and the enthusiasm to get more in. And the missionaries who've been out there a long while, even longer than we have, are getting into it. And we had a Bethel conference last January, and I was absolutely blown away how many of these missionaries went to see what it was all about and came away with a lot and were encouraged themselves. They are faithful people for God. And I was just so thankful that the Lord was encouraging them more to get on with it, because it's quite hard work sometimes. And they're just lovely people, and I was so pleased that they got a bit of oomph in them now to keep going, you know, to keep on with it. I was asked to do about mission as well. What Thailand needs. Are we on to, on the next one. Not brilliant at this. Schools. What Thailand needs is English teachers. Now, you don't have to be trained in a college to get English in English. So if you're university trained in anything, they know that you're intelligent. So they'd think, oh, yeah, come. They just want those who speak English as a first language, because they can't speak English. So come on over. Come and teach in our schools, they say. And they pay you better than the local teachers. They want English teachers out there. Come over for a year or two or more. They want English teachers. So that's a way in, because you get a visa. And then if you haven't got a visa, there's no way of staying. You get a visa for a holiday, maybe 3 weeks. That's it. So come over. Yeah, come over, be an English teacher for a year. The youngsters maybe would love that for a year, but sometimes I know you can't, your career takes you away from that. But hey, come over for a year. English teachers You can be have a teaching skill. You even can have a TESOL. And then you're just in. Sorry, my throat's going again. Got a sore throat this morning. Yeah, so the jobs out there are for the ties. So you can't get a job out there doing anything else. It's all ties have to have the jobs. Just like the land. You can't buy land. You have to be a tie to buy land. It's all for the ties. So it's hard getting in there. So to get a visa, you can do voluntary work or you can do paid work like in the schools. We got in there through voluntary work. We went to the international school. It wasn't international then. But we went to the international school. That's a story in itself. I don't know if I haven't got really time, have I? Am I going over time? God arranged it. American guy in a shop in the wine counter, because Andy likes wine, buying wine. Hello, he says. He was obviously American, most with ties, you see. Been here long? Oh, no, just arrived. We're looking for a job. Are you a teacher? Yes. Come to my school tomorrow morning. You've got a job. So we went there, got a visa for a year. Brilliant. I taught in the school for 2-3 years, so that was our way in. So schools. That's the school that our boys go to. This is the church that we go to. And because if you teach in the schools, you've got loads of time. It's not like here. You don't get cut off for the whole term because you have so much work to do. You just teach at school. You have the evenings. You have the weekends. So come, do outreach, find the culture, do the language, whatever you like. Teach in the local churches. That's a church. Yeah? Noah's Ark Church. It was built by Taiwanese missionaries. They got the money from Taiwan. A beautiful church, isn't it? Very interesting. Protects the eyes of people there. I think you saw that, didn't you? And that's me preaching in the church. Now, if I can preach in the church, so can you. Yeah. You know so much more than any Christians there, and they're hungry for to learn more. So they love anybody to come and preach. So anybody wants to come? Even if you only come for a month to visit, get something that you can tell to the church and they'll have you sort of speaking out the front, okay? And that's our home. Come out and work. Are you a painter, a decorator, plumber, builder? We'll have to say you're on holiday with us, mind. You're not officially working, but there's loads of jobs that you can do while you're on holiday. Okay, so can come out and help if you have any inkling with gardening. We'd love you out there. We got a lot of land, as you can see. We need gardeners as well to help out. It's a lot of work there. There's lots you can do if you come out. And look at me. I mean, I'm getting older now, and so is Andy. If anybody wants to do long-term mission, we're looking for someone that we can train up and leave them to it. You can take over. Is that in anybody's heart? Maybe. We'll keep going as long as God wants us to be there. But, we're feeling in our heart now it maybe is a time for change and someone else can come over. God told us it's bigger than you think. Doesn't mean to say it's going to be bigger for us, but this was the whole thing. And three people said this to us. They don't know each other, totally don't know each other, all three prophecies. So come on out, get it going bigger for God, all right? Because he's got his eye on it, I know. We have some lovely boys there who are bringing up. 5 have been baptized, more love the Lord anyway. So, come on over, come and see. Is God pulling at your heartstrings? Yeah. I called it eternity in your heart, in your hearts, because in 3:11, Ecclesiastes 3:11, you realize when you're out there how much God has put eternity in the hearts of men. He has. We just have to tap into it, learn the culture. Don't call him Jesus the shepherd in Thailand. They've no sheep. They don't know who the shepherd is. Don't say, oh, if you give him if he asks for a fish, give him a snake. They'll look at you gone out. Snakes are far tastier than their fish. What on earth do you want to eat a fish for if you can have a snake? Learn the culture before you put your big foot in it, sort of thing, and think, oh, what did I say? Okay, come over. We'd love to see you there. I was going to read Ephesians 2, 4 to 10. Read it at home because we're a bit late now. Just to show it's not us. He's done it all. We're just putting our hand in his. I'm not great. You're not great. He's great. And all you have to do is put your hand in the hand of Jesus and let him do the rest. Praise him. Thank you.